Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said that when he ascended and went back to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. Every true believer knows what it's like to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in his life or in her life tonight. What's one of the proofs that Jesus made at home? The Holy Spirit dwelling in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Already in this series, we've talked about that word sanctification, and that sanctification is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're learning even more about the Holy Spirit. Now, sadly, it seems that there is either a lot of misunderstanding or too little understanding about the third person of the Trinity and his work. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series in a message called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
Of course, the Son has his ministry, the Father has his, but there's a special calling of the Holy Spirit. And this is an amazing thing, as we shall see tonight and the weeks ahead, that it's the job, and I would not want this job, can you imagine? It's the job of the Holy Spirit all around the world tonight to speak to people, to testify about Jesus, the Son of God, and to also work in the lives of believers to perfect them. That is to bring them to that place of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I have a hard time with my life. And yet the Holy Spirit's at work. He's the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that imparts the holiness of Christ into our lives. Listen, you cannot work your way to heaven. How are you going to get to heaven? The Holy Spirit speaks to you and brings to the name of Jesus before your thinking. The Holy Spirit causes you to be convicted of sin when you do something wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that's with you. If you're lonely, you can be in a crowd like this tonight, but be lonely. That's one of the most profound things that happened to me on the night of that I got saved. On June 20th, 1977, when I gave my heart to Christ, I've got to tell you, I was prior to that night, in fact, that night, I was on my way to try to fill that void in my life. I was on my way to a party in Newport Beach, and I was heading down to fill that void in my life. Before I met Jesus, I was afraid to be alone. Always on the phone, trying to find out where my friends are going to next, and what's the thing, and what are we going to do now? Every moment filled with activity. And that night, Jesus got a hold of me, and that was the most profound thing that happened in an instant in my life. God began to go to work instantly in some things, and then some things, God, 33 plus years later, he's still working in my life. Hey, don't laugh too loud. He's doing the same thing in your life. But he'll never stop. And here's the amazing thing. That moment, I went from a man who was afraid to be alone to a man who sought to be alone. I was no longer lonely. Maybe tonight you're lonely. You don't have to be lonely. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. He's the Holy Spirit. Number two, mark it down. He is the God that is the teaching spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teaching spirit. He teaches. He has a teaching ministry, and that is of the Holy Spirit. It's front and center in the opening moments of the New Testament gospel. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 25, John 14, 25, the Bible says, these things Jesus said, I have spoken to you while being present with you. This is just before he ascended and went back to heaven for us. In verse 26, he goes on, John chapter 14, but the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus was counting on the Holy Spirit to bring to the memory of the disciples the teaching that he had earlier given them. And how was he going to do that? By the Holy Spirit. Look, I'm 52 years old. I'm very happy to say that anything I remember these days is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll be happy to find my way home tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 says, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. The Holy Spirit has a teaching ministry. Jesus says he's going to be reminding the believer of what Christ has spoken, and the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit's the author of the very Word of God itself in Acts 1:16. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Jesus says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Now, that's a great statement. That's a great moment. Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 12 that if you're brought in before people who are accusing you, or you're under the grip of false judgments, or whatever the case might be, or maybe you're brought before your boss because you had your Bible out on your desk around, and you're in trouble, and you're going to give a defense for yourself. Jesus, the Bible tells us, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will be there speaking for you. By the way, those of you, I encourage all of you to join the Call Ministry. The Call Ministry here is amazing. But you learn in that wonderful ministry on how to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's up to you and I to eat the Bible up. We're to do that all the time. Eat up the Word of God. And here's the cool thing. When you eat it, now please listen. When you eat it, the Holy Spirit now has something to draw out of you and bring it out of your mouth. You ever seen a little baby gets done nursing? Baby's all happy and fine, and you turn, look, smile at the camera, and everything that he just got done eating comes out of him. Well, think of that as the Word of God. You and I are to nurse on the Bible. And the moment the Lord turns us around to an unbelieving world, there it is. The Holy Spirit draws the Word out of us and presents it to the world. He has a teaching ministry. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, he will use the Word of God. Number one reason why you and I are to be in the Word of God and understand that the Bible is the language of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood," Paul is talking to Timothy, "you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, listen, "All Scripture," that is the Bible, "is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. So that excites me. Is your Christianity boring? If it's boring, you're doing it wrong. Stop doing it. Surrender. And say, "Lord, here I am." Also this, mark it down. Who is the Spirit of God? Well, he is God, the empowering Spirit. He gives power. The power of the Holy Spirit is what changes you and I every day. Now, some maybe listening in right now or watching right now, maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, "Well, I don't know God exactly, and situations in my life have brought me to be listening to this right now." Listen, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, to bring you to Christ, yes. But as a believer tonight, whatever's going on in your life, this is the great thing. Whatever is going on, God wants to show his power in that situation. Right now, as Haiti is under the cloak of darkness, as night has fallen upon those poor, hurting people. And as we are here tonight, statistically, imagine as we've sat here tonight, people have been losing their lives as we have sat here. People are dying in Haiti. At the same moment, the Holy Spirit is in Haiti. And the Holy Spirit is calling out to people. The Holy Spirit is there. And he's at work. And whenever situations look most bleak, the power of God rises up. In Micah chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "I am full of power by the Holy Spirit," says the prophet. The Holy Spirit is his power. You guys, I'm going to give you a lot of verses if you haven't caught on. We have a lot more to go, so just get ready. Write them all down. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, this is a great verse. By the way, if you're single, write down this verse. And if you're married, write down this verse. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That's the Holy Spirit. When you read the Bible, that's the Holy Spirit being referenced in your life. And I want to ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit working in your life? Now listen, church, you can't have the Holy Spirit actively at work in your life and walk in sin at the same time. He won't do it. You see, Jack, I thought you said he wouldn't leave me. He won't leave you. He just clams up. He stops talking. He withdraws. You ever poke a snail in the eye? What happens to that snail? He goes inside. Man, if you're out, you're a Christian and you're living a life that's not glorifying to God, it's like poking the Holy Spirit in the eye. He withdraws, he stops talking. You lose power. That's a serious thing. Men and women of God tonight, listen. There's nothing. Listen, I hope your life is committed to Christ and God is using you in such a way that you've concluded there is nothing in this pathetic world that it can offer me that is worth sacrificing the power of God in my life. Oh man, you know, log on to this and look at that and, you know, go to bubbles.com. She's right there. No way. Are you kidding? For 5 minutes of a rush for the power of God to be sacrificed is not worth it. You're wasting it, man. Don't do that. Oh, you know what? I was going to study my Bible, but there's a sale at the store. Listen, forget it. Go to the Bible. It's not worth sacrificing power. This is a big deal. The Holy Spirit is our power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. This is a great verse. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. For this is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. My goodness, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tells us that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, and it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Why complain ye any longer? It's amazing. It's awesome. John chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That, by the way, is a result of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That is, Jesus had not been yet risen from the dead. He hadn't died yet. It's awesome to realize. By the way, consider this. Jesus said that when he ascended and went back to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. Every true believer knows what it's like to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in his life or in her life tonight. What's one of the proofs that Jesus made at home? The Holy Spirit dwelling in your life. On the day of Pentecost, it was almost like the FedEx, UPS showed up and rang the doorbell. Well, the Son must have arrived in heaven. Jesus must be enthroned in heaven above. Well, how do we know? Because the Holy Spirit was poured out there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And then this famous verse, I've saved it for this portion for last because it's the best in my opinion. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said it himself. He says, but you shall receive power, dunamis in the Greek, dynamite in English. Now, that's not a terrorist statement. He's just saying that you don't have to walk around dynamite. The dynamite's on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word in Greek, upon, is E-P-I, a P. The Spirit of God coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And look what's happening right now, right in Chino Hills, right in the surrounding communities, all the way out to the ends of the earth right now. We're living in a time when the gospel can be preached around the world in a moment's time. It's amazing. Yeah, you can thank God for that. It's absolutely awesome. Who is the Spirit of God? He is God, the discerning Spirit. The discerning Spirit. By discerning, I mean this, that as we mentioned that the seven Spirit of God is wisdom and knowledge and his vision of all things. The Holy Spirit is discerning. Within the church, how discerning? Now listen, Ephesians 4:29. He's this discerning. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That doesn't mean only bad words. Those are words that are not true. Those are words that tear down people. Those are words that are critical. Unkind words. The Bible says, don't let that come out of your mouth. But only that which is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Are you upset with somebody? Shame on you. Deal with it. Go to the cross. For God could be upset with you. Think about that. Rage. This is insanity. These are the descriptions of insanity. Rage, anger, brawling, slander. That's tearing somebody down. That's taking out your tongue and cutting somebody to pieces. Slander. Along with every form of malice. The Bible says you do those things and you've grieved the Holy Spirit. And the moment that is going on in your life, you've sacrificed your power. Oh, you can get it back, but you have to repent of your sin. Make restitution or make reconciliation with those whom you've offended. Talk to God all along the way. And by His grace and mercy, He may restore you. What about in the Old Testament? Isaiah 63:9 talks to us about the Old Testament discerning of the Holy Spirit. In all, listen to this, in all of their affliction, He, the Lord, was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. This is about the children of Israel in the wilderness wanderings throughout Egypt and the Jordan area of today, before they crossed over in Joshua's day. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So He, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit, turned Himself against them and became their enemy. And He fought against them. And you can read about that in your Old Testament. You can read about it in the book of Psalms, when they made angry the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit pursued the unbelieving children of Israel. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? Listen, if the Holy Spirit is an it or a thing or a force or an influence, how do you upset those things? You can walk up to a fire hydrant and yell at it. You're not going to upset it. You can't upset an it, but you can upset the Holy Spirit. He's discerning right now in my heart, in your heart, in our lives, in our thoughts. Not only does He know everything about us, check this out. He knows our motives, which you and I don't know. Isn't it Jeremiah that says that our hearts are desperately wicked? Who can know them? Does that offend you? Does that like, oh, Pastor, don't say that. It makes my feelings. Listen, sometimes we need our feelings hurt. Our feelings are kind of disgusting a lot of the times. They really get us in trouble. And God says, listen, calm down. I know your heart. Oh, to know me is to love me. God says, listen, I've seen your heart. You're selfish. You're self-centered. It's all about you. And that needs to die. Think, I need more self-esteem. I need more. No, listen, you don't need more self-esteem. You and I need Christ's esteem. We need to look at God. And when we're looking at God, then we're listening to Him. And He looks back at us and He says, I love you. And listen, that's all the self-esteem you need. When the King of the universe says, I love you, everything's fine with me. Think about that. Boy, does that go against the grain of this modern age. This modern age is messed up. In Acts chapter 5, the discerning work of the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. This is New Testament stuff. Check it out. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, these were Christians, sold a possession. And he, Ananias, kept back part of the proceeds. He didn't give all the money. That's not a sin to give or not give. It's not the point. He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You can't lie to a thing. You can only lie to a person. and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Listen, you have not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down dead and breathed his last. So great fear, I'm sure it did, came upon all those who heard these things. Hello. Church, listen. These are two people who were Christians in the church, and they lied. This is what they did. They sold their land, which nobody told them to sell it. Peter says, what's the big deal? Why'd you do this? You didn't have to do it. They sold their land. They had some money. They gave part of it, and what is implied here is that they said, hey, we just sold our land for $5 million, and here's $5 million, when in reality, they sold it for a greater price, kept part of it, but they wanted to look really good in front of people. And they're called on the carpet. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You've lied to God. Can you imagine if tonight the Lord says, you know what? You're lying right now. Who is the Spirit of God? He's the guiding spirit. He guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. He's the instructing, leading, guiding spirit. When we pray and seek the Lord, He responds. This is a great verse that I learned as a new believer. In fact, when you go through the foyer on your way out, on that menorah in the foyer, it's inscribed in Hebrew. And that's the same replica of the menorah that's at the Knesset in Israel today. And this is what it says, Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my what? Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That is liberating. Some of you need to get that verse down forevermore. How are you going to get from here to heaven? Not by might. You're not going to get from here to heaven by power. You'll get from here to heaven by the Holy Spirit. And you want to yield. You want to give him the controls. In Mark 13:11, the Bible says, when they arrest you, Jesus says, and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate in your mind what you shall speak, for whatever is given to you in that very hour, speak that, for it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit who speaks in you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation that looks at what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that's the title of this lesson, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you catch the Real Radio broadcast on Wednesday, October 2nd? I sat down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and we talked about their new book called Turnaround at Home. Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, if you didn't hear the program, just visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button that simply says Broadcast. Realradioactive.org to hear Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, discuss their new book called Turnaround at Home. It's all about breaking those generational patterns. You know what I mean? Those things that our parents did that we vowed we'd never do. Well, if you're a parent, or perhaps soon to be one, and you've wondered, how can I move beyond the family pattern that I had growing up? That's what this book is all about. It was a great discussion, so visit realradioactive.org to hear it if you haven't already. And we're also making this our special offer. We'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.